Welcome, everyone, to the Apocalary Podcast. I'm Steve. He is...
What am I tonight, Stephen? I am Dr. Van Beek, I think.
Well, Dr. Van Beek, the most high reverend Dr. Van Beek.
Ooh. Is that Anglican? I'm Anglican tonight.
You could be if you felt like it.
The right reverend. That's
yeah,
Anglican.
The right reverend, yeah.
Episcopal if you're in the States.
Ah, yes. Yes, if you're on the other side of the line.
That's right. And you remember why it's Episcopal in the States? Because they broke away from England, so they would not accept the term Anglican.
Yes. Even though they're part of the Anglican Fellowship internationally, aren't they?
Very much so, yeah.
Interesting. Well, my friend, tonight we're going to talk about Hebrews 13, which, I mean, the obvious thing would say that sacrifices are pleasing to God because it actually is at the very top of the page. But is there anything else that we should know about Hebrews 13? Is this the concluding chapter, or are we close to the end? Or?
This is the last chapter, Stephen.
Oh.
This is it. We finish Hebrews tonight. Yes. You know, no matter whatever happens with our high water, this is the end. But a great, great, great finishing chapter, though. We're going to enjoy this one, I think.
Awesome. Okay, folks, without further ado, let's jump right in. Hebrews 13, verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to the strangers, or to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Remember those who are in prison, as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you are also in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and the adulterous. Keep your life free from love of money, and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?
Oh, my. There's a little bit in here that I don't really want to deal with, but let's work our way through. So he does tell them, continue in your love for one another. And the author here, she or he, uses the term brotherly love, which might offend people nowadays. So we would just say, continue in your love for one another, right? Then do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. I hate hospitality.
I barely like people I like. Never mind strangers.
even friends I don't invite over for supper. But remember in Acts, hospitality is as big an issue in Acts as salvation is actually. Mm. It's mentioned almost as many times. It's a big thing in Acts. It's a big thing for Hebrews that you look after strangers when they come into your home. He says, because you've entertained angels without knowing it when you've entertained strangers. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're Pentecostal, you do believe in angels for today. You believe that there are angels here on earth today.
Right.
And the idea of entertaining angels. I know the older pastors would talk about running into angels. My father-in-law would talk about groceries being delivered and looking out, and there's nobody there.
Right.
Now, you know, if you waited a couple minutes, maybe they're around the corner. But he really felt like angels had taken care of him in his early days. And so Pentecostals are quite comfortable with the idea of angels. Remember, right. Angels in Revelation, are there angels over the churches? We're very comfortable that those angels over the churches are actual angels.
Right. Yeah.
So it's kind of weird when you see someone and you need to help them or show hospitality to them to think that this could possibly be more than a human being. Mind you, your responsibility to a human being is every bit as great as it would be to an angel.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's the same charge, basically, right?
Yeah. There are books about angels that talk about angels running around the earth today and people running into them and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I forgot the name of that book. I think it was called Angels Unawares, actually.
Oh. I think almost like they pulled it right from here.
they may have. Then the author goes on to say, remember those that are in prison as though you're in prison with them. And I remember going to a prison one time and them talking about this kind of stuff. This is actually not talking about criminals in prison. This is really talking about the Christians that are being imprisoned, right? You still have to care about criminals in prison.
Sure.
You still have to, you know, expect to bring them unto Christ and salvation and those kinds of things. But this is not that. This is actually Christians, those who are mistreated, since you are also in the body. So they're being mistreated for Christ. And this is happening today, isn't
right.
it? People
right.
are being mistreated all around the world.
Right.
And then he goes on to say, let your marriage bed be held in honor. Do not let it be, keep it undefiled. Now, the whole point here is do not be sexually immoral if you're married. Mm-hmm. Probably don't be if you're not as well.
Yeah, we'll just go on a limb and say that.
Yeah. I've had teachers talk about all kinds of sexual things here in this undefiled thing. But this is only talking about, you know, stay faithful to your spouse.
Right.
Is really what it's saying. And I'm just really uncomfortable to go into all the other stuff that they talked about. It's not a comfortable area for me.
Sure.
I'm not a counselor by trade.
No.
So we'll let them handle that stuff.
Yeah.
Keep your life free from the love of money. So that's probably not necessary. I don't think that belongs there.
That was for a different time, a different place.
It was a different time, yeah.
Mistranslation, something.
Yeah. Like. It was the 60s after all. Be content with what you have. Ah, Stephen. Here we go. Yeah. And he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So really what he's saying, what the author is saying is there's nothing wrong with having a lot of money, right? But the author is saying, this is not the goal of the Christian. To be wealthy isn't the goal of the Christian. Some Christians are very wealthy. God trusts them with a lot of money.
Yeah.
And it's actually the gift of giving is one of the gifts of the Spirit.
Right.
And for those that he gives a great deal of money to, this is part of the giftings that they have.
Yeah.
And you know, if you looked at you and I, you'd say, compared to the rest of the world, we actually do have a lot of money.
Yeah. Isn't that the truth?
Yeah. Then he says, I'm not ever going to leave you. The Lord's my helper. I will not fear. What can men do to me? And remember he said before, you haven't resisted the blood yet.
Yeah.
And right here he says, we're serving God. It doesn't matter what men do. I have a friend up here who, when we're talking about the whole COVID thing, he says, we're serving Jesus. We could just buy a box of popcorn and sit back and watch the show, because we're really not caught up in it the way everybody else is.
Right.
Because our helper is God.
Right.
And if we could, that's almost a revelation, isn't it, Steve?
Yeah.
If we really served God, this stuff wouldn't bother us. It wouldn't scare us the way it does.
Right.
If people happen to be scared. It wouldn't scare you like that if God is the one you're serving.
On either side, right? You wouldn't be scared of, let's say, the virus itself, or you wouldn't be scared of the freedoms that you may feel that are being taken away. Either would be immaterial. It's all about Christ anyway.
That's right. If we're really serving God and looking to see people come to Christ, then this can actually be a good thing in our witness to others. Yeah, kind of neat, eh?
Yeah, sure is.
Yeah. Not that we've ever gone that way. We're usually...
Oh, no. You know, we're complete, you know, it's just complete.
I didn't get past the love of money part. I couldn't get down to this stuff.
Yeah, give me a break. I've only been working on this for decades. Yeah. I'm so with you. All right, picking it up at 7. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life, and intimate their faith. I think I've said that right.
We're not intimating here. We're imitating.
Right? imitate their faith. Oh, I could barely say it.
Intimate.
Their faith. Jesus Christ is the same today, same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat. For the body of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek a city that is to come. Through him, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God.
Yeah. So look at your leaders, he says, and follow that example of life.
Yeah.
I think of the old Pentecostal pastors that they really believed that Jesus was coming back. Mm-hmm. They really believed that he was coming back in their lifetime, and they lived like that,
yeah.
You know. And some of them now have very little, like monetarily, they've got nothing.
Right.
And people say, well, maybe you lived wrong then, because you know you've got a bad retirement right now. But I think they lived right. I think they lived properly. Yeah. They lived their life in the light of the return of Christ. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think that is how we're supposed to live.
Right.
And that's what this author's saying. And he said, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever. That's always nice, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah. So don't go after strange teachings. This thing about food is those were the food stuff that, now I'm gonna take it that he's talking to ex-priests and there were food rituals in the priesthood, and he's right. Saying that is not of a benefit anymore. Mm-hmm. You could go a different way with it a little bit. And say this has to do with people that are actually, you know, we could look at it today and yeah. Say, I remember C.S. Lewis, he said, he was talking about sexuality, you know, and he said, you know, we're way too caught up with sexuality. You know, he said, if you put a pork chop on stage and everybody was excited about that pork chop, we would say, you're far too inclined toward food things, you know, but he was talking about sexuality. But now I think, yeah, but they do that now.
Yeah.
They got all of these different food shows that people are completely wrapped up in eating.
Right.
And he talked about gluttony being not just an excess of food, but I want it just so. You know, mm-hmm. I want this meal to be just so. And he called that a form of gluttony. So that's another way to look at it. But I think what he's doing is he's saying to the priests, don't go back to the food laws that you were following.
Yeah.
That's not beneficial to you, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
For the body of animals and the blood brought to the holy places, they were burned outside the camp, and Jesus also suffered. So he's talking about that sacrifice and then comparing it to Jesus' sacrifice.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Right. Seeing how that's covered over now because of Jesus' sacrifice, right?
Yeah. And don't go back. We're looking for a city that's coming. Mm-hmm. So for us as Christians, remember, we are sojourners here on in this world. We're looking for something future. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Many of us aren't. There's so much good in this country that Christians can just really do well temporally.
Yeah.
but it's not where we're supposed to be going.
Right, right.
We're supposed to be looking ahead to this future thing.
Yeah.
Through him that has continually set up this sacrifice, don't neglect to do good and share what you have. That pleases God. So he's also telling us to be generous with each other.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of stuff in here that we should be doing, Steve. But I think if we split it up and you be hospitable to people, and I'll buy stuff at yard sales and give it to people, and we can kind of cover all our bases.
We can tag team this and make one whole good person.
There's too much for any one of us to do just by themselves. Yeah. So, but it is incredible the expectations that this author has on Christians.
Yeah.
And it's all living in the light of Jesus. Now, he's not talking about Jesus' return, but just living in the light of serving Christ.
Yeah,
serving. In other places, it'll be living in the light of him coming back.
Yeah, but this is serving, in, like you said, in the light of a risen Christ.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I like that. I like that better than the way I said it.
No, no, it's all good. We're in this together.
We
remember,
are.
Remember, I'm the hospitable one. Not really. Actually, I'm really not. Anyway, verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. I urge you the more earnestly to do this in order that I may be restored to you the sooner.
Obey your leaders and submit to them. I think this is referring to Christian leaders. Most people that I hear talk about these verses point to our political leaders, to obey our political leaders. I don't think that's what's being said here.
No.
But
I agree with you.
Yeah. But there are those who think that we should be obeying the political leaders. I do believe that we're not to mock them, and we are to pray for them. I've said that after mocking them just recently.
but that's a different. Yeah, that's
yeah. That was mocking in Christian love, of course. But,
yeah.
but I think what he's talking about here is talking, and actually this will work for us too, even if he's just talking about our leaders in the church. Because honestly, pastors have a rough go these days.
Yeah,
the level of respect for pastors is very, very low.
Yeah,
and I think that's kind of that is unfortunate.
Yeah, yep.
That is unfortunate.
Yeah,
so I think that's kind of what's being pointed at here, and then of course he's saying I have a clear conscience. We have a clear conscience, and we want to be honorable in the things that we do. So let's be honorable, and I urge you the more earnestly to do this in order that I may be restored to you soon. Oh man, that sounds like Paul all of a sudden.
Well, I was going to say that's a very Pauline thing to say, right? Like it reeks of Paul.
It does. So if you don't believe it's Paul, it's just some other person being restored. But yeah. Man, that sounds like Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah. And don't forget, most Christians up until the 1950s really felt that Paul wrote this book. And there are places it just feels like Paul.
Yeah.
So we'll leave it at that for now.
Fair enough.
And 22.
Verse 20. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
It's kind of nice, eh?
Yeah.
The God of peace equip you in every good. If I'm going to pray for you, I usually pray that, you do okay health-wise and financially and things like that. This person prays that God will equip you to do his work.
Yeah.
Which is really something, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not often a prayer that we pray over somebody.
No. I do hear it when we're ordaining ministers. We pray this kind of thing over them.
Right.
But it's not something we can think of.
Yeah. Over our friends, we want it to be easy and, take away, give them a big bag of money, Lord. That's my prayer for you all the
that's,
time.
That's the one that you pray for me that I'm holding to. I'm holding firmly to that. I'm not going to love it.
I'll hold it at a distance. But yeah.
I'll hold it lightly.
Yeah.
But I will hold it.
Yeah.
but this prayer is that God works his goodwill in you.
Yeah.
That which is pleasing through Jesus Christ forever and ever. Huh. Yeah. I do hope that for you, Stephen.
Yeah. Thank you. And I hope that for you too, my friend.
Yeah.
Well, 22. I appeal to you, brothers. Bear with my word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly. You'd never know that over 13 chapters, by the way. but maybe this was brief back for them. You should know that our brother Timothy has been released, with whom I shall see whom you shall see, whom, oh, sorry, with whom shall I, with whom I shall see you if he comes soon. Oh gosh, sorry, I don't know, I screwed that up. Greet your leaders and all the saints. Those who come from Italy send you greetings. Grace be to all of you.
Or grace be with all of you. Oh man, now I'm thinking it is Paul.
Well, it's, again, he mentions Timothy, talks about Italy.
Yeah. No, nobody else talks about Timothy like that.
Is the reason, you know, to go back all the way back to Acts, or sorry, to Hebrews 1, the reason that they discount or generally shy away from Paul's authorship of this is just simply because of stylistic reasons, right, Larry?
That's right, yeah. Yeah, the language is different. It's sort of like when you read 1st and 2nd John, you go, that does sound a little bit like the gospel. It sounds like the same guy writing. Mm. And it's that type of thing here as well. Yeah. That people started saying, you know, it's like Revelation. They say that couldn't have been written by John. It's such a different form of writing than the gospel. So it's the same. This is a very different from the other books that Paul wrote in the language. It's a cleaner Greek. So the actual language is different, but there are these little pieces in here that sound like Paul, right?
Right.
And it could be somebody else. I mean, they were all doing stuff together. It could easily be someone else, but there are little pieces that you go, whew, that did sound like Paul.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. It's sort of, that I would probably know it was you, if I read something.
Yeah.
Because you've fixed my writing a number of times. And I can tell by the tone when it's you. I like it better than my writing, actually, your writing.
Well, thank you. But what a great ending, right? You know, hey, I appeal to you. Bear with me. I've written to you briefly.
Yep. And remember, all of this in the back, in the first bunch of chapters was Jesus is better than what you had.
Yeah.
You need to follow Jesus. And the author finishes off by saying, continue to follow Jesus. I'm going to pray that he works in you, that you can follow him thoroughly.
Yeah.
And I really still think that he's telling Jewish Christians and maybe even priests, don't go back to that thing that you knew.
Yeah.
Right? Keep moving on for Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll someday see you in Italy. those who come from Italy say hello.
Here's hoping they bring cheese and wine. Well, Laird, what a great way to end off this book. Folks, thank you so much for joining us through this journey of Hebrews. We're talking about what we're going to do next. We'll probably be back next week. We might take a week off. We don't know, but we probably will be back. Yeah, that's our theory, at least at this point in time.
Just keep anxiously looking for
keep check your podcasting app constantly to see if there's a new episode. But until then, I was Steve, he was Larry, and this was the Apocalypse.